Good morning and welcome to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer and we're continuing in the doctrines of Romans chapter 2. Now we move over into chapter 3 and we want to continue with Paul plowing through this hard press that every man stands accountable before God. And so the question, as he's writing to these Jewish believers, then they must be thinking, is there any advantage of being a Jew? Well, let's address that. Is there advantage of being a Jew? It's interesting how Paul responds in chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Okay, if Gentiles and Jews are judged alike, if they are judged all under God, then what's the advantage of being a Jew? And he says, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, the law came to them, the oracles of God came to them first. And so he said that was an advantage. Now, the question then, if that's the case, if God has given them the oracles of God, then what about those who don't believe? Then God must not be faithful, because if he chose those people, then what about those who don't believe? Can God be charged? See, that's the problem when you don't see that righteousness is by faith and faith alone. Paul makes it clear throughout his epistles that everyone that's a Jew is not a Jew. In other words, it's of the heart, it's not of the outward. That's why he can say over in Galatians that everyone who's of faith is the seed of Abraham, and that includes Gentiles. He's painting a picture of what Christ came to do for the nations of the world. Up to this point, all the nations had been outside of the promise of God, only the nation of Israel. And in Revelation, we see in chapter 20, where Satan, the old dragon, is bound so he can no longer deceive the nations. That's what happened at the cross. Jesus bound the authority of Satan so that peoples and families of all nations and of all tribes and of all tongues can stand before him in Christ. So he said to Abraham way far back, Abraham, in your seed, meaning Jesus Christ, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God is after the nations or the families of the earth, and he used the Jewish people to bring forth the law and the Messiah. And now he's making it clear that yes, there's an advantage, but God has a bigger plan. So verse 3, he says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? In other words, God must be able to be charged as being unfaithful if not all the natural Jews believe. He says, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written. Then he quotes Psalm 51, where David makes this statement in the time of his own repentance, that you may be justified, O Lord, in your words, or blameless, and you may overcome when you are judged, or when you judge. In other words, God is always right. There may be things you can't figure out, but always know this, God is just and God is right, and he's always faithful. So there was another question, another charge, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God. In other words, if the sinner's sin, whether you're Jew or Gentile, shows how righteous God is and shows how he gives righteousness in Jesus, then is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man, certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? And just because God takes our sin and our unrighteousness and our unworthiness to exalt his glory in our redemption, then some people say, well, then God is unjust that he doesn't save everybody. God is unjust, therefore he's unfaithful. And this is what Paul is addressing. He knows that those charges are in people's minds and that God doesn't have a right to judge the world if, when he saves some, that their saving and the fact they were brought out of sin gives him glory and reveals his righteousness. Therefore, God should be charged because he's not being fair. And he says in verse 6, certainly not, for then how will he judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? So some would say, okay, if I live in deceit and yet it reveals God's truth and makes God look better, then how am I guilty and charged to be a sinner or to be under God's wrath and judged? And he certainly says here, and why not say, let us do evil that good may come? Well, then if God's grace abounds, when sin abounds, then maybe we should just live evil and he'll continue to give God praise. And he says, as we are slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say. In other words, they begin to teach, wait a minute, when Paul's teaching the grace of God, faith along in Christ, and those who have under the law will be judged, and those who are without the law will be judged, and it's only in Christ, then maybe it doesn't matter how we live. And you can see where they're going with this, can't you? And that therefore Paul must be teaching that we should sin in order to reveal God's grace. He said, they slanderously say, I teach this. He says, no. In verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Meaning we as Jews, are we better than the Gentiles or the nations? And he says, not at all. Now there is advantage that the oracles came first, but Jews are not better. Gentiles are not better. We're all the same. Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks, that means all nations and Gentiles, that they are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Man, Paul's making a strong case. He's building this foundation that no one stands justified before God without Christ. That's what he's saying. Jews, though they receive the oracles of God, do not stand justified because they have received the oracles of God. And just because God offers righteousness and forgiveness does not mean that God is unfair. And just because he offered the oracles of God and all the Jews don't believe doesn't mean somehow God's not faithful. Because he knows those who are his. It's not of the outward means of the circumcision, but it's of the heart. And Paul's building this case that we all are sinners without Christ. If we could be of some help to you in your spiritual journey, please email us. What I want you to see in this is no one stands justified in any of their own deeds or actions. Though that's called for to be received, it's only in Christ and his deeds do we stand justified. Thank you for joining me again today in the Word.